Blog Talk Radio.
Bring you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from PB and the Boys.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostest, and I got my crew, my team, they got my back, I got theirs, the boys. Mr. George Bikerboy Holman, Johnny George, Mr. Roger Hawkins, Roger, and the fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta. Oh, yeah. All right. How is everybody feeling tonight? We've got a great, great, great show for you guys. We're going to talk about race. That is our main topic tonight. So we're going to dig into that. But first, we've got Roger's sports and fitness coming up for you guys. And we've got the fabulous Mimi's drink special. Look forward to that. And, of course, Mr. George Bikerboy Holman and his business tips. Look forward to that. And, of course, cute little me. I'm going to talk to you about some nice movies that are starting this week. So everybody get set. Get ready. Let's go. Let's get it. So let's start off with some current events. So, first of all, we'd like to pay our respects to the very first woman ever inducted into the NBA. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but sadly she has passed away. Her name was Lucy Harris, and she is like hailed as the queen of basketball. So just a moment of silence for her and her family. Rest in heaven, Lucy. You have blazed the trail, and your legacy will live on. So just a moment of silence for our dearly departed queen. All right. Now, moving on. So much is going on in the news today. Have you guys seen? Have you guys heard? All the stuff that has been happening, it's just crazy. This controversy with Leah Thomas, who, of course, you guys know.
Your grandfather.
Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps even weighed in on this topic, saying that, you know, it should be a level playing field. How do you guys feel about that? Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think that's interesting because, like, of all people, you know, Phelps got in trouble for marijuana, which is it's laughable now. Think about how far back everybody used to trip out on that, and now people are like, that's it? But we kind of talked about this before. I just don't agree. As a man with daughters that competed and that were athletes, you know how pissed I would be if my girls, you know, that are like 5'3 and 5'4 line up against some 6 foot broad shouldered, big handed, big footed ass used to be guy, that would piss me off. And just from a biological standpoint, who makes the rule about you have to have hormone suppression for 1 year? Here's why. You've been a man for 18, 20, 21 years. And now you're going to tell me 1 year of hormone suppression is going to take away these broad ass shoulders, your wingspan, all of that. It's not fair. I'm not saying they don't have the right to transition. What I am saying is, you know what? You got to have your own special classification. I'm sorry. And not being funny, but would you let a kid with, you know, you know, Down syndrome or anything like that, race against, you know, a kid who didn't have some type of a physical affliction. No, it's not fair. It doesn't mean they're anything special, but how you can't justify that to me. You cannot, because no matter what you do, unless you cut their limbs, unless you find a way to reverse time, the muscle mass is still there. The length, the structure, it doesn't matter. Hormone suppression or not, it doesn't matter. It's not fair. And what is this? And here's the thing. Leah, who then is an asshole, and I said it, fight me on it. This individual is bragging, laughing at other people because you're smashing records. I hope you feel good about yourself. You're out there crushing the records of people that are genetically were born, you know, a smaller frame, different gaits, different body structures. But, like, instead of taking the humble approach and the high road, she's literally out there just laughing, you know, crushing them. I don't care, whatever. You know, her teammates don't like her. You know, they're kind of like, yeah, we'll tolerate her because maybe she's helping our program win. They don't like her because it's not fair. You have a disadvantage. That would be like if I told you Usain Bolt to go, you know, compete against my nephew's track team in school. He's been retired 2 or 3 years. He's going to destroy everybody. So that being said, I'm actually with Michael Phelps on this. I know he's trying to be PC. I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I think every time I see this, it makes me mad. Every single time. It's never going to be fair. Because again, mm-hmm. you can give a woman male hormones. She still won't be. You know what I mean? You can give any of you guys, I can give you guys hormone treatment for 2 years, and I promise you, you're still not going to, your body's not going to physically alter and change to what I live with every day, what George lives with every day. It's just not, it's not right. So in my opinion, if you really want to even the playing field, they've got to have a new classification. They've got to. If you transition, God bless. But you can't then, you know, just say, oh, it's okay. You know, I competed as a man for 3 years. Now I'm going to do it like this. First of all, he makes an ugly chick just like freaking Bruce Jenner did. Sorry, not sorry. Second of all, you're going to come out there after 3 years and just start blasting girls and think that shit's cute? It's not. I don't like it. I'm done.
Yeah, it would be redundant if I say everything that that Roger just said. So I'm going to just agree. They definitely need their own lane, period. Done.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Create the lane and keep it moving. Shoot.
Right. I think so. I agree. But we'll see what happens as time goes on, you know, because this is going to get revisited over and over and over again from a sports standpoint. It's going to get really, really murky and muddy, you know.
Right.
All of a sudden, women's sports start having certain times and records and things like that, that point blank, genetically, you know, natural women are not going to be able to touch. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
Even with the fastest woman of all time, FloJo, and Marion Jones, and there's some others in there, and now you've got Shelly-Ann Frazier, all these people, blazing, rolling, I mean, smoking. But guess what? In spite of all that, look how far away the men's 100 meters is from the women. And I mean, these women in the past and are rolling. You know, I'm saying, like, my fastest time ever is right next to FloJo, and I'm way bigger than she was. So if I would have raced her on a bad day, she would have destroyed me. You know what I'm saying? On the bad. But I'm looking like that's just pretty decent for a man. For a man, that's rolling. 10, anything is rolling. And look at all these guys in the finals that are running 9.9, 9.8, you know, it's just night and day. You beautiful women are meant to bear children. Your bodies is different. Your structure is different. You carry your muscle mass and your weight differently, as do we, hunter, gatherer, you know, protector. It's not the same. You mean to tell me now you're going to get this? Anyway, I'm pissed about it. Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, sir, I don't like it.
Very well said. And I guess we are just a unanimous four, because I definitely agree. Yeah. I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. It's not a level playing field the way it is right now. And in this case, there's really no way that it can be. when you really break it down. So I definitely agree with you guys on that. Now, this next story, I don't know if you guys have heard, but two cops ignore a robbery. Get this. Can't make this shit up. Two cops ignore robbery to play Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go.
Simon says that they are just tired of the 911 calls, okay? It's like, you know what? We're at work, but we're not at work. Call us when something real is happening, because I think the Simons were robbed last week, and for the fourth time, we're not driving out there. I mean, something did that. It just could not be a game. I can't see it. I'm sorry. Tell me there's more to the story than just Pokemon.
Probably not.
They must really love some Pokemon.
Unless they have some real Pokemon going on.
If they're seeing real Pokemon, I don't think we want them patrolling our streets.
Well, they're doing mushrooms. If they're seeing real Pokemon, they're doing mushrooms. You got to really not
They've been playing Mario.
Yeah. Pokemon. So what happened to them? I mean, fired, suspended, what happened? Anything?
No, they've been suspended because of it. It's under investigation. They've been suspended. And everyone's pretty much just awaiting further notice to see what's going to happen. But as of now, they've been suspended. But it's just crazy that a robbery is in progress and you ignore it to go play Pokemon?
That's
unreal.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because in the amount of time it takes to respond to a call and get to it, you know, the vast majority of robberies have occurred. They're done. They're gone. So really, even calling the authorities boils down to, you know, do you want to make a report? Don't. Is someone hurt? If they realize that there are no, you know, victims or anything like that, they take even longer. That's just, I understand that they really are overworked, but at the same time, you know what you signed up for. So I think it's interesting because something like this really doesn't register highly on their radar. I saw a graph, a breakdown of police responses and what they're about and things like that. It was kind of scary how fast they responded, how much they responded. And we'll get into this later with our subject, but, you know, at the very, very bottom were, like, you know, home invasions, break-ins, and a lot of them was, like, domestic violence and assaults and things like that. They just response time or how much time they spent on them, amazingly small. Pokemon Go, shit, there you go. Catch them there. Maybe they can help.
Right. Pokemon is definitely more important than, I don't know, saving lives.
Okay, you know what's
the
interesting thing? Right.
Right.
Who snitched? Who told? Because I would have never said I was doing that. I would have been like, look, the radio was off. Blame it on something. But
the video, the video camera. Somebody said something and they caught it all on video. The in-car video camera caught the whole conversation and everything that was going on.
So there is an in-car video camera that is on at all times.
Yes.
That's stuck. That's stupid all in itself. That means they've been playing from before.
It has to be.
They didn't just decide, I'm going to play Pokemon today. I'm going to ignore this call. You know, they knew that was a setup.
Crazy, yeah. crazy. You know, it's like, who's policing the police? I mean, seriously. Like,
nobody.
How do you even justify, you know, not going to do your job because you're playing a video game? Not showing up to your wedding because you're playing Call of Duty. just makes no sense.
I bet it happens.
Look, let me tell you something. Show up. Don't show up to my wedding because you're playing Call of Duty. I'm going to leave you playing that Call of Duty right there.
Right.
Best man.
For real?
Nah, I'm messing you guys.
Exactly. Exactly. Because when one man won't, another man will. Seriously.
I mean, I don't know how many people are going to step up right on wedding day and just fill in, but, you know, maybe. You know, I guess that's why they dress all the guys alike. If one guy don't show up, just move them right over. I don't know. I don't know who's going to sign up for that, though.
Not.
It's insane. Yeah, it is absolutely insane.
Dwayne,
well, you know what? Look, there's always Dwayne the ex Wade. That will show up. There's always the ex that's going to show up. Talk about, you see, I told you, pick me.
Serious, but I guess you're right.
It is crazy.
Everybody wanted that wedding. That different world. Yeah.
Baby, please, and all that shit. It was good though. That was really good. You know, it was cool. I saw something on that, about that just the other day. Like it was on YouTube. He did an interview about that. And he was saying he and Debbie Allen. Hey, Debbie Boo, I've worked with her before. He was saying how he really tried to get that change. He didn't want it to come off as like, oh, everybody, you know, the whole breaking up of the wedding because it just looked bad from a black man's standpoint. But Debbie Allen pretty much was like, listen, I'm going to insist on this baby. We're going to do it. And so he kind of proceeded with it, and it was really kind of legendary. That's going to be one of those things that goes down in history because you could hear him pleading. So you guys check that out when you get a chance. It was actually pretty cool. But I just think, I think from the whole fairy tale romantic standpoint, every woman wants that. You want somebody that wants you so badly that he's willing to go through hell or high water and come in, you know, riding on the white horse to do that. But not every, but a lot. So, and I think that was the story she was trying to sell. And like I said, it probably worked because I know a lot of people. I was looking for a Dwayne after that, but it was dope. It was cool. Baby, please. But
I did just said that whole name.
What, Dwayne Wayne?
You cannot say Dwayne without saying Wayne.
No, you have to.
Dwayne Wayne.
Flip up glasses.
Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah, Dwayne Wayne. Because, well, there's a Dwayne Wade. And I ain't going to say that because young people only know the basketball players. So I got to, you know.
Right.
I got to let everybody know, you know, which the original Dwayne. So Mama probably named him after. So, yeah, you know, there's that. You ought to find that clip, George. It's great. Hey, that'd be a good one to watch. So, yeah. But the basketball lady, I wanted to go back to Miss Louisa. I think that's interesting because a lot of people don't know who she is or whatnot. But when I first started kind of really getting into it, I dated a young lady in college who was a basketball player. So at that point, I kind of started hearing names. I didn't know these people didn't care, but like Pat Summitt and Cheryl Miller was her, you know, her idol. And I think everybody thought that Cheryl may have been the first to really go and make it because she was that good and she used to whip Reggie's ass, which is why he was as good as he was when he got to the league. Literally, his sister made him who he was. But I think that's interesting that we don't hear about this woman too often and that she actually got drafted, not even, you know, walk on the place. She got drafted, which is pretty wild. I think it would have been interesting to see what happened because it was a different day. So who knows how she would have fared. I mean, at 6'3", she probably would have fared, you know, who knows. But it would have been interesting to really see. It never happened. You know, she started a family. But that would have been something because, what was that, 77 or 75 or whatever? A while ago. It would have been cool. But happy birthday to her. And or RIP and
yeah,
all that other good whatnot. So that would have been cool. 6'3". You'd have been like, hey. Ain't nothing wrong with a call with shoes. You know, they can still be picked up. Shit, don't front. I don't need to confirm nor deny. So.
Don't say that. Don't say it around my wife.
Oh, good Lord, Barbie.
You've been trying to get me to pick her up since the day we got married.
Oh,
she
still
romance.
Hey, look, she still rolls over and says, "You gonna carry me across the threshold?" It's a reason. I tell you, it's a reason that I chose to jump the broom. Because that's what we did when at our wedding ceremony. We jumped the broom.
Yo, Rob,
I ain't carrying you over nothing.
Damn, G.
Look, I'm 6'5", and we stand eye to eye. So what's that tape?
Yeah, I know. Okay, when we were in Vegas, I was like, "God damn, get your big ass back there!" I went over me. That's cool. Yeah, that's my girl. That's my girl. I'm loving it. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Mimi, how you feeling, by the way, hon? I know you've been doing the battle thing, girl. You look like you got a little bit more. Maybe that's just your stage strength.
I don't know what's going on, man. One minute I'm here, the next minute I'm gone. Then I'm good. Then I'm back. Then I'm good. Then I'm back. I'm just making it do what it does when
looking,
I can.
Looking.
All right.
Looking here.
Oh, Amon Ra is in the building.
Yes. Can y'all hear me? Hold on.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Beautiful people.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
First time seeing y'all in a minute. Happy New Year and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
How are you? Welcome in.
Great.
Yeah, we missed you.
Trying to make sure I can hear y'all.
We can definitely hear you.
We got you.
Okay.
How you been,
so I had you in my headphones so I can hear y'all better.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving around. Refresh. See, you can't be using the cellular data. Sometimes, you know, it'll mess you up.
So did he actually call in on the blog talk?
I came in on the link that was sent to him.
Because if he didn't call in on the blog talk, that means that our radio listeners can't hear him. They can hear
all right,
us.
Let me,
they won't be able to hear him.
Yeah, call in. You know.
All right,
you so.
Mute the computer and call the blog talk radio number, the 516 number.
Yeah.
You got that number, Amon?
So I have a number, but
I'm on
because I only have my phone. Will I be able to do both at the same time? I know I can do one on the laptop and one on the situation.
Nah, you won't be able to do them both.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do.
Our viewers, people viewing our broadcast can hear you, but the people listening on Blog Talk and Apple Podcast won't be able to hear you.
Oh, no. We got to fix that. Let's see.
Yeah. So log into the app on the computer and then call in the 516 number.
Yeah, I gotta find out. I'm at sister's crib. I don't have. I'm probably trying to use her computer. Let me see if I can get into her computer.
What? You look like you ain't missing no steaks.
For me,
Don't tell Amon Ra that at all. He'll be in the gym on tonight and tomorrow and tomorrow afternoon.
Listen, I can kick those ham in the gym.
He looks like he got a little swole on.
Yeah, man, I got you, bro. Once you working on TV, you got to.
A little mini ass nigga.
I'm trying to see if I can
Right.
My sister.
Hey, while he tries to work that out, Crystal, why don't you throw on a little one of his tunes so our people can hear what he got going on. They know who we're talking to.
Can you send me the YouTube link too? I have some people that want to check in.
Yeah.
I got some people going to chime in on it. Yeah.
Some people that want to listen in. Yeah, people that want to listen in. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, did you get that one yet?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on, I'll check in a second. Boom. It's the book. I got the show link.
Yeah, he's talking about a different link, Crystal. Hold on a second. I'll get it for you.
Yeah, I don't have the YouTube link. I have the show. Oh, no, I got it now. It just came through. It just came through.
Okay.
Boom. Copy. Send it off. I'm here. I'm just trying to contact my sister to see what's her passcode to get on the computer, because I don't want to start and get too much into it, because I have a lot to say when it comes to this subject.
Okay, so while that's happening in the background, y'all, if I might talk about what I'm drinking, because I have a couple ice cubes in this thing, and the ice cubes are disappearing, and I keep tasting it like this to make sure that it's still strong.
You're still bad in that cake thing.
Yeah, look, y'all know that I'm like the 5-year-old. I'll say anything at any time. So I've been working. Look, don't look at the content of the bottle. Just look at the name of what I'm drinking, okay? So I'm having me some of this. Don't look at the content. Do not judge me, y'all. That's taking care of COVID. And some ginger ale.
Hey, you gotta do it. You gotta do
it. And it's in the big one because.
Hey.
Don't look at the nails either. Okay, she's just all the way not totally
look,
present.
Mimi,
yes.
Don't feel lonely.
Frown wet. Oh yeah, look, you're hiding the content. Maybe I should have done that and just brought it down to the peach. But yes, honey, this Crown Peach is amazing.
It's right, huh? It's good, right?
Yes. Mr. Hawkins, I'm sorry?
I said, were you doing that with ginger ale?
Yes. Oh, it's amazing.
Okay.
It's amazing with ginger ale. You know, I always do it with Coke or I might do it by itself, but tonight, there was no running out for Coke and all that stuff. No, there was ginger ale and ginger
ale. Yeah, no doubt.
Ginger ale it is. So, for all my people, one love.
Right on.
One love.
Y'all know I'm always pouring myself, so don't mind me.
What happened to the preview? Right quick. What happened to that?
This is the new one in here. The box is kind of heavy. But
that's the real, huh?
Nice.
I'm not having the party by myself. This right here is compliments of Mr. Terenzo Alexander. We're going to leave that right where it's at. But, yeah.
No. All right.
What had happened was, Amin Roy's back. He's back right on time.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm waiting for my sister to hit me back so she can tell me where her codes are, so I can try and get on the computer and the phone. Right now, I'm just on the phone. So what I would probably have to do is I would probably have to call in the is there any way I could mute this so you can see me, but I call on the phone? I'm trying to figure out how can I mute myself.
Exactly.
On this one.
Yeah.
Exactly. And call on the phone.
Yeah.
There should be a mute button somewhere. You can hit mute. Are you on your laptop now?
No, I'm on my cell phone still, so I can mute it here and still call in.
Yeah, just hit mute. And then calling on another phone.
Yeah. So, Mr. Hawkins, what did you say you were drinking there?
I went back on y'all a couple of weeks ago. Remember we talked about that old school sugar cookie? So I had a little rum chata left, and I just decided to make that happen again. So, you know, get a little cinnamon whiskey and a little bit of the chata. So I'm just, you know, I'm back on that this week.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
Well,
Crystal, you already know, baby. Phoebe,
oh,
let
yeah.
us know what you're drinking.
Water, lemon splash. It's very good for you. It keeps you hydrated. It gives you really soft, perky, beautiful hair. Gives you nice, perky knockers, too. And it's really good for you. I totally recommend it.
Never heard that part, but God bless on that. You know.
Water does a vibe.
I'm getting the case in the morning with the lemon.
Is it the lemon that does it?
Oh, no, something dehydrated. We got to work it all out.
It's the lemon that does it. All right, all right.
Now, to stay consistent with our intros, I'm going to have George. George, roll the drink intro now.
Hey, okay.
Here we
all
go.
Right.
Now it's time for Mimi's Fine Wine.
It was. It already happened. It ain't even a fine wine no more. It's a great drink.
Right. I don't know why. Yeah, we everything but that.
Okay, we got some feedback. Amen, you good now?
That was Amen Raw. His speakers are feeding back. He called in and I brought him on the line. As soon as I did, his speakers started feeding back.
Right,
so if you turn down your speakers on your laptop.
Yeah,
there
I
you
back
go.
To
that'll work. Yeah. That'll work.
All right.
Your big ass is still filling the whole screen, though. I'm swole, too. Look. I'm swole, too. Look.
Hey, it's all your tall, skinny ones.
I can feel my screen. Look.
Are you funny? So, with Amen Ra being an artist, you know, he gets away with all that, which is a good thing, okay? We got the body going in the gym. We're reinventing ourselves. We're getting our music up to par. He's got the look. So, Amen, take your finger off, baby. You're good.
He said, hey, you know.
He froze with his finger over the camera.
But with that in mind, we're going to play Amen Ra's song, Finish. So we'll just wait for him until he's finished. Here we go.
Baby, I've been staring at you all night. Think you're messing with my vision. Don't worry, girl, I'll be alright. Long as I can keep my eyes off you. Nobody's gonna tell nobody about what we getting into. Your body's too fine. You're wasting your time playing by the rules. Gonna do it like this tonight, and we gonna party like this tonight. Alright, we gonna move like rinks do when we late. Girl, I ain't got the time to debate. I just roll up and we skate, baby. I promise, as God is my witness, if she let me get it, I'ma handle my business, baby. Who's is it gonna make no to me. I think you're making my water. I swear I can see a tangled in sheets. She on top of you and you on top of me. Or whatever we get caught up in. So we gon' do it like this tonight. Oh, we gon' party like this tonight. Like this tonight. Alright. We gon' move like
like rent's due and we late. Girl, I ain't got the time to debate. I just roll up and we skate, baby.
Right now, so you know things took a pause, but as long as a pause and stagnant are two different things. You know what I mean? You can take a and become better. You can be stagnant when you're not doing anything at all. So I took kind of a pause, felt stagnant, but, you know, I'm back like I never left. So, you know.
That's how you do it.
But hopefully you'll be able to come with us on the cruise.
Yeah, that's honestly the main goal. I work hard now, so I can play hard later. So that's the goal.
That's what I was hinting to is we're still planning on being able to make the cruise with us.
I've done in my life, I've never gotten a chance to go on a cruise. My family goes on a lot of cruises, but I was never able to do it because when you go on cruises or you do things like cruises, you have to set that date like almost a year in advance. And I've never been able to, you know, set up time a year in advance because, like, this time next week I might get called out to do a tour or go or leave the country or leave town. So setting something like the cruise, like, y'all let me know, like, okay, be good in April. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll let you know. It's a little hard unless I have something booked out, you know?
No doubt.
Well,
But it's a good problem to have.
Right, that is a good problem to have. But you got till March 1st to write it in stone.
We're definitely going to tear that down. But,
all right, guys.
So let's get into the nitty gritty. What are we here for? We're here for a
all right.
Topic. Let's jump into this. This is what I'm here for.
Yeah, our topic it's a pretty hot topic tonight. But first, Roger is going to do his sports and fitness briefly, and then I'll just let you guys know what movies are opening this week, and then we'll jump right into it. So, okay. Roger, you're up next. Roll it, George.
You gotta love it.
So real quickly, I know we kind of, just because of current events, we kind of touched on a couple of things, but since we're kind of in the playoffs, let me jump into the NFL really quickly. Round one is over. We're moving on. 49ers and Packers are playing on Saturday. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I'm sure the Niners want to get back to the dance because of what the Chiefs did to them a couple of years ago. It's okay if you don't, boo-boo. You guys won in the eight. Saturday also, you know, we've got Sunday, actually, we've got the Bills and the Chiefs. So, of course, you know, we got to root for our boys. Now, that last game was actually, you know, kind of scary. And Chris, we were talking off the air. TV was saying, you know, are we worried? And George and I were kind of explaining, listen, you always worry in the playoffs because it's a whole different season. You know, who you saw in regular season isn't the same team you're going to see now. So everybody's dangerous. That being said, the Bills actually have a really strong team, and it won't be a cakewalk. They're barely the underdog. We're barely ahead. So obviously I want my guys to win that set. Rams play the Bucks. Both good squads, obviously. I hate the Bucks, and I think I'll say this every day until I die. I definitely don't like the Bucks, so I want the Rams to do me this favor, please. Knock them off. It probably won't happen, but we'll see what happens. Bengals Titans. Not sure about this. I actually hear the Bengals playing us the Titans a little more with the healthy Henry. Now, if Henry's not healthy, they're still very formidable, but not nearly as much. So, that being said, the Bengals came in before already and kind of, you know, showed up and showed out with it. So, I'm on pretty much it for that. And then also, the Pro Bowl is going to be here in Vegas, which means I'm probably not going to go out much or avoid, you know, the strip and all that as much as possible because I don't want to deal with that shit. that's pretty much it for the NFL this week. We'll see what happens and who goes on a little further next week. Now, really quickly, I'm sorry. Anybody have anything on that? Any commentary as far as what name, what you're thinking?
Well, John's a good millionaire. We ain't got to worry about Henry. Well, you know, I mean, I never wish injury on anybody, but I'm glad he's having troubles. But nevertheless, you know, we've been tweeting back and forth with my boys, you know, Patrick and Kelsey, and them guys are in such good spirits, man. It's not even funny. I'm just watching them and their tweets and their shenanigans. And
right.
they are having fun right now. They are really having fun right now, and that makes a difference. Because if it ain't, it's you can tell in the plane when they're having fun and when they're just doing the job. You know, when they're having fun, good things happen.
They weren't early in the year, and now they are. So I think you're right. When they're just kind of, you know, having a good time out there, they really, really put on a good show. The only thing that kind of had me raising my eyebrow this past week was the fact that they were pulling out a bunch of trick plays, and my thought would be, if you're winning by that big of a margin, why would you show your hand to the rest of the world? So that kind of had me looking a little sideways. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, Papa Bear doesn't have a whole lot of other tricks up his sleeve, but it just kind of makes you go, hmm. So anyway, that being said, they are having a really good time. They're looking like, you know, the Chiefs 2 years ago when they were a step ahead of everybody. So hopefully that'll, you know, carry us back to the dance, and we'll see what happens. I won't make.
Well, I tell you, it's good to see that they have gotten back to that style of play when they did go to the Super Bowl, because when they were utilizing all their weapons when they won the Super Bowl, and now they're doing it again. Last week they hit 8 different receivers. 8.
Right.
Who does that? Nobody. They hit 8 different receivers. You know. And when they do that, they do amazing things. So it's hard to stop that when you got that many weapons on the field. And this McKinnon, I mean, what did they do? They pick him up in the airport somewhere on the way to one game or something? Because this dude is showing out. McKinnon, number one? Damn, he's killing it.
Yeah.
That boy is trying to earn a permanent position, and he's doing a damn good job at it.
Well, he just got himself the looks of a lot of teams. So if we don't have him next year, he'll be somewhere. I mean, I don't know what it is. Andy Reid likes that little, short, tiny, strong scat back kind of a guy. I mean, that's why we've got Edwards-Helaire, et cetera, et cetera. But, this guy came out of nowhere. A little cat, too, but, man, he tore it up last week. He did what he was supposed to do. He got his chance to shine, and he made the most of that opportunity. So whether he's with us next year or wherever he goes, I'm going to root for that young man because, like George said,
yeah.
I don't know if the boy was in groceries last week,
I'm telling you, I swear to God, they picked him up in the airport on the way through. They were like, hey, man, we need another receiver. Come on. We need another running back.
good for him. Absolutely good for him. So really quickly, I know we got a pretty heavy subject tonight. What I would like to do for our sports and fitness, like I said, we didn't quite get all of our video. I got it uploaded, but like I said, I didn't give George enough time. So blame me for not having the adequate time for the video. That's okay. We'll get to that later. But one thing I can talk about without something most people don't do is injury, especially as you get older. So no matter what you're doing, if you're doing CrossFit, if you're a runner, weightlifter, if you practice any type of sport, I need you guys to get into the habit of staying loose, warming up, and stretching. It doesn't have to be super extensive, but I have a strict rule. I stretch before, during, and after. Hence, you avoid injury, and your sports or athletic career, or whatever you want to call it, will take you well into your twilight years. I mean, you have longevity. You hear people go, oh, I blew so-and-so out back in the league, back in the day, and they've been done. So, you know, you've been out of anything competitive or athletic for 20 or 30 years, and you've got quite a few years to live. In order to avoid that, you have to stay loose. You have to stay limber. And although we tease TB, she is right when it comes to the hydration. We've had this discussion, and you can never say it enough. As much as we joke about mixing our drinks and things here, you will not find me far from, you know, a bottle of water and things like that. So you have to stay, you have to stay lubricated. You have to, you know, you have to keep your, exactly, your joints and limbs and all of that. But above all, no matter what you're going to do, give yourself a chance to warm up, stretch. Your body is your machine. You know, in the old school, in the old days, you had to warm that car before you jumped in and drove it, you know, that kind of thing. It's very, very similar. You know, if you think about blood flow, it takes a while for your heart to push blood to the extremities of your body. See, your core is what gets blood first. You know, that protects the big areas. It goes down. And then, you know, front to back, and then your extremities, arms, legs, hands, and feet. That's the order that it goes. So you may jump up and decide you want to do something to take off, but you're going to drop, especially as we get older. We can't roll out of bed and do the things we used to. Yeah, you know, at our age, you can pull a muscle sleeping. You know, so more than anything, definitely get yourself warmed up, prepare, stretch, stay loose. And then whatever you do from that point, you know, do it to the best of your ability. So for today, that's about it. We'll be back with some more video and some more stuff to keep everybody tight for the 22, because we're going to be sexy on the cruise. So I'm out.
All right. And with that in mind, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Why not?
Just go to bed, don't you dare leave. I'm gonna give you something that'll make your blood bleed. Blogs out and I Heart Radio, dude. Apple Podcast, Facebook, and YouTube. The newest and the hottest podcast in the nation. Coming at you every week with some baby motivation. Cell phone, PC, tablet, I don't care. No matter where you're at, we will reach you everywhere. Now back to the show, CB and the boys.
All right. And we are back. Now, next up are the movies, and then we're going to dive right into our very uncomfortable conversation that we're going to have tonight, but necessary. So look forward to that. So next up, the movies.
And now it's time for At the Movies with CB. Yep, At the Movies with CB.
I don't know why Alvin and the Chipmunks want to do this for me, but I'm just so honored. That's just so awesome. Thank you so, so much. All right.
Until Alvin and the Chipmunks show up with a damn freaking invoice. Just say it. Don't do it, George.
I already took care of that when they came in the studio and recorded that for me. I gave them peanuts. It was good.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
wow. There you go. As long as you gave them the peanuts. All right. Movies opening this week. We have The Tender Bar. It is about a man. It's kind of, I won't say coming to age because he's a grown man, but he is dealing with a lot of stuff in his family. It's an all-star cast. Ben Affleck, Christopher Lloyd, George Clooney. The Tender Bar tells the story of J.R., a fatherless boy growing up in the glow of a bar where the bartender, his Uncle Charlie, played by Affleck, is the sharpest and most colorful of an assortment of quirky and demonstrative father figures. So it's a good, feel-good film. It's rated R, so there are some scenes. So it's definitely not for the kiddos, but it definitely is a coming-of-age film. So if you like coming-of-age, it's for you. Ditched is another film that is opening, starring Christopher Donaldson, Mackenzie Gray, Marika Sila, and Chris Lohinger. It's a desperate to escape an overturned ambulance. A group of paramedics are trapped with violent prisoners. So it's a thriller. You know, and it's also considered a horror film. So if you love horror, check out Ditch. You've got Road to Perth, also The Royal Treatment. Redeeming Love is a very good romantic film. It is based on the best-selling novel by Francine Rivers. It's a beautiful, powerful love story of relentless love and perseverance as a young couple's relationship clashes with the harsh realities of the California Gold Rush. So it's a period piece. So if you like period pieces and you are a romantic, you're going to love Redeeming Love. Also, The King's Daughter, A Hero, A Shot Through the Wall. It is starring Amy Long, Sierra Renee, Lin Chen, Kenny Liu, Derek Goh, and Dan Lauria. Also, Clifton Davis is also in this film. Now, this is it's considered a crime drama. It takes place in Brooklyn. It says, after an accidental shooting of an innocent black man in Brooklyn, Chinese-American police officer Mike Tan must wade through the profound guilt as he attempts to navigate the complicated worlds of media, justice, and racial politics. Now, this film definitely coincides with our topic tonight, so we're just going to dive right on in. So our topic tonight is about, I guess you could say racism, but the burning question is, why do black people, why do we always invite everybody to the cookout, but the other cultures aren't so quick to return that invitation? So why do you guys think that is? And another thing before we get responses, Whoopi Goldberg, of course, as you know, is on The View. She was kind of upset because I don't know if you guys have heard, but you knew that Harriet Tubman was supposed to be the face of the $20 bill. Were you guys aware of that? Well, Maya Angelou is supposed to be placed on a quarter. Were you guys aware of that? And so Whoopi felt that she should be on something higher than a quarter. And there are other women who will also be the faces on quarters, as well as the legendary Maya Angelou. So what do you guys think about this topic? I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you agree? And then you, Roger and Amonra's actors and Mimi, what you have to deal with when you go to an audition and you read for a certain part and you're already put into, you know, the box of being a thug or being a crackhead or being, you know, a prostitute or something like that, since those are a lot of the, you know, roles that they have for people of color. So what are you guys' thoughts on this?
Okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and speak first. As far as, you know, speaking from an actress point of view, since, you know, I'm an actress as well. But normally I get called for roles versus me saying, hey, I want to, you know, let me see if I can get this role. And it's really, I think because in the beginning I heard so many stories about this type of thing happening, I made it my business to turn it around. So it was really about what it is that I wanted to do. If I saw something that I was interested in, I made a phone call, I did a table read, I got it. So I don't want to boast too much before folks start flinging all kind of stones and bricks and shit at me, because, you know, I'm one of those people that don't really have to audition to get roles. So, you know, but it does happen to a lot of people. And, yes, you know, you do get those phone calls that say, hey, Mimi, I'm looking for a stripper. I'm not that chick. You know, I'm not stripping. There's just a lot of things, because I really kind of, you know, it's like my kids are older, but I still have morale when it comes to myself. And there's just certain roles that I'm just not going to do, you know. And you will find your Denzels and you know, all these other actors, you know, actresses that will not do certain roles. So when you have a choice, you just make that decision for yourself and you stick to it. You know, because the day that you decide, you know what, I'm going to go and be a stripper, guess what? Find that meanie ass looking good on camera, and then you're going to have all kind of people talking about, we want her. We want her. Call her. Call her. And I'll be a stripper moving forward for the rest of every movie till Kingdom Come. So
but you just don't settle for less, because if you once you shoot yourself in the leg and you're handicapped, you're done. That's it. So that's all I got to say on that. And Mr. Hawkins, I think you are on mute.
Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, to parallel off what she said, society has a preconceived notion of who we are and who they think we are and who they want us to be. So when being dictated on something for screen or something that, you know, goes out in the masses to the world, they would like to keep us in a certain shell because the truth is always going to be, you know, scarier than the lie. And what the truth is, stereotypically, around the world, we're considered A, B, C, and D, when we're really D, E, F, and G. So what they do is they try and stereotype us and putting us in certain roles to advocate who we are across the globe. Mm-hmm. So people that don't know us and can't even speak English already have a preconceived notion about us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in saying that, we've always been an underdog in a way to where, going back to the subject of what we're talking about, we always feel a need for acceptance. So why are we always accepting everybody else to the barbecue when we're not accepted? It's because we're always pushed to the back of the line and we're made feel so less than that we accept the crumbs that they give us, and we always would like to be embraced by our quote-unquote, you know, slave masters. So skipping to these kind of years, it's been indoctrinated in us in a way to where we're just like, okay, this is all we are and this is all we can ever be. So this is why we feel good when, you know, a.k.a. Masa or somebody in that persuasion accepts us, or somebody there wants to be a part of us, not knowing that our culture is what rules the world. You know, the biggest family in the world are the Kardashians right now. But who are they emulating?
Yeah.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
And who are they being praised? Us. So not even knowing the power that we have, especially the woman, sisters out there, I'm going back and forth with conversations on our sisters, on their true power and where they feel they are in society compared to where they are globally, without being known or acknowledged in that fact, that we just feel like we need to know how to take our power back. And it's okay, I'm not preaching separatism, but I'm preaching appreciation for who we are and knowing our value, to not have to always want to, you know, not downsize, but, you know, acclimate with other people to feel validated.
Yeah.
I keep it going. Let me stop for
you. Yes, yes, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Very much. And that is true. So would you say that, when you say that it's indoctrinated in us, and it's kind of sad when you really think of it, you know, that it's like we are programmed to believe that we're lesser than, so we take whatever we can get.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really agree with that, and I do see that being passed down from generation to generation to generation, that, you know, a lot in that realm has not changed. You know, and that's why we are so welcoming to say, you know, we invite anyone to join us. We invite everybody to join us, but we don't get that reciprocated. And
not at all.
It's
the same
really
way I was just the same way our sisters will get ridiculed for having cornrows, but it would be considered artistic expression and risque and edgy if somebody else does it. The same way you'll see all of these videos on TikTok with these kids that are not of our, you know, hue and our complexion, dancing to Afro beats and dancing to reggae, but getting the praise from us that we wouldn't even give to ourselves. But we give it to somebody else for exploiting what we do and for loving our cultures better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
So do we consider that a double-edged sword? Because I definitely agree with that. Unfortunately, it has been ingrained in us since day one. Remember, we are considered the culture, the group, without a country and without their own culture, even though our history is everybody's history, but because we are the mutts, if you will, that it goes to show that, you know, everybody has to have a particular moniker to associate themselves. You can't be African American or black, but if you're African, then that's a different level, because like you're pure. If you're European, you're pure. If you're Portuguese, you know. But unfortunately, we are the children without a land. And so, but everyone embraces negative to positive, you know, things that once had, you know, a stain on them. And just like I'm and Rod, Chris is the same, we talk about cornrows, we talk about culture, we talk about the dance. If it's done by anyone other than us, if it was taken from, you know, people of color and reused, recycled, then all of a sudden it becomes in vogue. If you look at any, you know, artist, performer, or thing, anything like that from, you know, 40, 50 years ago, well, they wouldn't have gotten anywhere without stealing, you know, the move, the sound, or whatever. What, you know, and I don't want to get into the argument of people talking about people like Elvis and the rock bands and things like that, but these people all frequented little holes in the wall where they could see, you know, our culture and our history, you know, come to life. So, again, it's about being loved for everything that you possess, but not being loved for who you are. And so I do think that acceptance has been ingrained in us. And to some degree, in this day and age, you kind of have to have that. I think it's wonderful that if you look at black families in particular, we have more accepted, you know, mixing of cultures and societies and things like that, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds, all of that. We are a very welcoming people. And don't get me wrong, I just got back from Africa, and the area that I went to, Ghana, Accra, we're welcoming as well. Some places feel differently. Some people hold their pride at the highest regard. So that level is way up there. And a lot of cultures they get the privilege of having that pride, staunchly and sometimes violently defending it, and it's okay. We are not allowed that same, you know, we're not given that same opportunity. And so it is very difficult because there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm curious, I'm accepting of what you bring to the table and what you offer, but I think we just have to be more protective of what we are and what we have to offer. So it's a gift and a curse. It really is. I love the fact that we can welcome anybody just for who they are at the front door with open arms. Come as you are. But then, again, you know, like the subject goes, it's not the same in reverse. But that comes from fear, the fear that they know better who we are, what we do, what we're capable of, what we possess. So I think that turns, you know, and what do you do with that? You know, how do you combat that? Because, you know, it's true. If you draw it up on paper, we should rule the world. But unfortunately, that's not the way the game is played. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you know, I say it all the time, being black in this country is like playing Monopoly and starting three rows behind. Everybody goes around a couple of times, starts buying shit, now you go. Now think about it. That's exactly what it's like. But some people are just savvy enough to find a way. They make their way, they slide in, they kind of can play the game to win a little bit, you know. We're built to win, but born to lose. So we have to reverse that, those actions, that thinking, and make, you know, I try to teach people one person at a time that we are not what our stereotypes portray us as in different countries. We are not all that you see on TV. And when, like Amin Ra said, when people of a different ethnic background, different cultures come to this country, I promise they are informed. They are pulled to the side and they said, hey, watch out for them because they're X, Y, Z. And like my man said, we need to show them it ain't ABC, it's DEF. So, you know, I found a lot of people raise their eyebrow when they speak to people like, you know, any of us on this show, and they go, wait a minute, this isn't what they told me you guys were about. And you can tell when their mind is blown because they thought, you know, shit, they thought we had tails until they saw us, you know, in living color because of what they were told. So it's mm-hmm. our job to change people's minds, you know, one person at a time, one conversation at a time, one small group at a time. It can be done, but unfortunately, we got an uphill battle.
Oh, can I?
Right.
Can we still have patience for the ignorance? Because those things are more understood back in the days when the information wasn't out there on a global basis. But can we still claim ignorance to not know who we are and what we've contributed to the world on a global basis, as opposed to when we were in school and all we knew was what the teacher told us? Like the internet being the biggest gift and the biggest curse in the world, I just give less excuses to people to say, oh, I don't know and I don't know. It's like it's too much information out there, and there are too many, you know, platforms out there on people that are embracing who we are as a culture. If we can get off the World Star, and if we can get off the Instagram, and we can get off of these platforms that show us in a different light, and just look for the platforms that show us in the light that we're supposed to be showing in, I give just less, you know, I give less for that. Like, I came up from a family and a father of public speakers that were trying to push out knowledge since the 80s. And I understand everything had to be on word of mouth. And a lot of times our ancestors, all we had was stories. All we had was great-grandma telling grandma who told mommy, who told my sister, who told me. And everything was passed down from stories and told. But now we can get this information at the drop of a dime or at the click of a button. So can we still claim the same kind of ignorance now to where, like, I don't understand? Because in hip-hop alone, I can just say it in hip-hop alone, yes, we are very accepting because hip-hop is not a music, it's a culture. Okay, good. What's saying that is people like me are hired to go around the world to give hip-hop to the world, right? But the thing is, hip-hop is not embraced around the world from the older generations, but the younger kids are loving it. So they're trying to find ways every day how to have hip-hop in their home without having hip-hop in their home. And when I say that, is they're always looking for the next, you know, great white hope, the next person that's out in different countries who can be us without having to deal with us. So in embracing people and taking, not taking, and I'll say embracing our cultures, are we really giving away our substance? Because I see it differently to where, okay, we can act like we're embracing people, but at the end of the day, next thing you know, our culture won't be our own, and everything in the face of our culture will be what you see on TV, and it won't look nothing like you. So I'm not as forgiving on giving it away to that circumstance. And I understand we all need to make money, and we all need to support each other and make that money, but sometimes we have to go outside of ourselves, outside of our race, outside of our own country to give our culture to somebody else to make a dollar. And then it's not reciprocated.
What can work for you? And that's just it. You're right. You have to ask yourself, because what you place value upon, you know, your brother may not. And so that's where the great divide comes in. You're right. You have to ask yourself, okay, should we be accepting? Well, it's just like in this country. They say ignorance of the law does not absolve you of that, of breaking that. So you can't tell a cop or a judge, hey, Your Honor, I didn't know. They're still going to put Chaz in jail. It's the exact same thing. I agree with you, Pam. We have every available avenue to learn and self-teach. I say this to my kids all the time. Because, again, they come to me because they're like, well, why would we look it up? They literally said, why would we look it up if you don't answer? And my answer to them is, because I'm not going to tell you. Now, if you want to know that badly, you'll look it up, or your ass ain't going to know for the next however long. And it's nothing more than going, what did your parents tell you back in the day? Look it up. Go to the library. Look it up. Our folks weren't telling us jack. They wanted you to be hungry enough to seek it out, because it gave you that much more appreciation for the understanding. And now, like I'm right here, with all of the engines and platforms available, the only thing they want to do is see who's got the most likes and the most follows. It's not about who can fill their mind. So I definitely think, and now here's what's interesting. I think that's a huge thing, but even when I was in Africa, there were Africans on these tours of slave castles and slave quarters and things like that, which is very, very amazing. There were Africans who lived there that flat out said to the guys, why did this happen? Why did they do that? They didn't know. Do you know how mind blown I was about that? To hear an African go, what happened? Why did they do this? Now, for Americans, I know everybody went to different schools. Everybody didn't have the same resources. But for someone from that continent to ask the guy, this is how the information gets lost. This is how it doesn't get passed on. This is how the treatment of certain people gets pushed. Because you don't know the true history. You don't know the story. It just really blew my mind. And this gentleman wasn't young. He was a father, which means he was in one of our age demographics. And he asked, why did it happen? How did it happen? Why did they do this? And I couldn't stop staring at him. I couldn't. It blew my mind. Like, he lost his history and culture the same way it was stripped from us. And to watch this other gentleman patiently explain to him, but you could tell it was an incredulous moment. It really was. So it goes back to learning, self-education, reiteration, and teaching. But you know what? You can't speak if it's falling on deaf ears. You know, people kind of have to. You know, you're not selling this. You're giving it. You're delivering it. Hopefully, they're receiving it. Because if people don't want to hear what you have to say, they're going to tune you out. Because it's uncomfortable. You know, critical race theory, that's a whole big thing in this country. They're uncomfortable. They're tired of seeing and hearing people talk about all the atrocities that were committed because it's uncomfortable. It's seen. It's way too close to home. So you know what we do? You know, in the cartoons, you prop a toothpick up under their eyelid so you can't close your damn eyes because I'm going to make you look at this. I'm going to make you look at this. You know, gone is that day where we don't have to be seen and have to be heard. We have power. We have the ability to do things. We just have to pool our resources, bring ourselves together. We have to unify, which is not as easy as we like to make it seem. Because there are always going to be people that have their own interest at heart, and they're not worried about, you know, the greater good of the mass. That's how we got here. It wasn't anything other than we call them in America, we call them sellouts. That's how those of us that live here got here, by sellouts. You know, they came bearing gifts. The sellout kings of different tribes said, hey, you know what? I'll take that, give you my prisoners of war. That's how we got here. It wasn't noble. It wasn't so. There was force involved, but trust me, we got done dirty by our own people. That's why we're here. There's one in every family, every city, every corner. You got to understand your history, man. So I don't know, but I think we all agree that it's kind of an influence thing. You know, we were kind of beat into submission and this forced acceptance.
So
is what's brought us to the point that we are.
The word colonization is real because, you know, by nature, if you've been to Africa, I've been to Nigeria once, and by nature, we're not a very aggressive people. If you notice, Africans are very soft. Like, they're very, not so, okay, let me not say that the wrong way. They're not soft, but they're not aggressive by nature. And even to this day, you can tell, they're very, what is wrong with you? Why are you, like they're very not the aggressive type as opposed to the colonizers that came over there with gun and with force and with war. We didn't have miscellaneous war to conquer. We were more in harmony with ourselves. And the colonization of what they took over there, they have a whole history that so a lot of the people that lived in Africa or from Africa, the continent, moved over to Britain and to Europe and went to school right next door to Europe, and they've adapted a culture that's not their own with ignorance on what happened, the realization of what happened to us. So that filters over to coming over here to where we're bleaching our skin, we're cutting our faces, we're doing different things to appease our oppressor. That's a tongue twister to me. Appease our oppressor. Okay, we're doing different things like that to make sure that we fit in, because we've been told so long that black was bad, color was dark was not good. That was before the black and the imperialist Jews became a saying. We were taught that the color. They did studies where it was a black kid and a white kid, and they were asking, what did you feel about the white doll and the black doll? We've all seen those stories.
Right.
And how we were to hate ourselves, and we were taught that that color was good and this color was bad. Indirectly, it's filtered over from generations and generations, because still in the Caribbean, there's skin bleaching. Still in parts of Africa, people are hating themselves to where they don't look like who they are, to where they think that side is what it is. And that's all. I'm not going off the subject to say these are the reasons why we're so accepting of something that's not ours. We're always embracing them because we're just happy that they notice us. We're happy that they notice us, embrace us. But the studies are saying that, I'm not going to say names, but them over there are becoming a dying breed in the next 5 to 10 years. I was just having a conversation with my friend that the world will be filled with people that are mixed. There's not going to be no pure races of those races anymore. And that's a fear that they're having. So everything that's going on in the world and everything that they're having to do, their whole culture and their whole way of life was war. That's why you had the Colosseum. That's why you had the gladiators fighting. That's why you had different forms of entertainment for them was always war and carnage as opposed to something that's peaceful. So what culture do you pass on in the year 2022 to our kids, to your kids and to your kids' kids? There is no culture. There is no standpoint on what the history was to which you want to share that. You don't want to share with your kids and your kids' kids the true history of your ancestors, especially knowing what it is. Hey, we slaughtered most, and we did this, and we conquered, and we cut the noses off of sphinxes, and we did this. This is our culture. Yeah. No, so what they do is they adapt your culture, and they take your culture, and they put movies that you're gods and kings of Egypt, and it doesn't look nothing like you because there's no way that the technology that we had in Africa, because people always ask me every day, yo, your name is Amun-Ra, are you Egyptian? Egypt is another place in Africa. It's an African name. Let's just get that out of the way. I'm not separate from anybody else. But they put their faces on our culture so much that we don't even like our own culture. But then as soon as they embrace our culture, because in different countries, I'm not going to name no names, they're actually locking their hair. Dreads are a big thing. Afros are a big thing now. They're putting sprays in their hair to do the opposite of what we did when we used perms. We were using perms to straighten out our afros. Now they're using products to kink up their hair to look more like us. But weren't we being disrespected for our nose being too big? Weren't our sisters being ridiculed for their lips being too big, looking like monkeys? But now you're putting a collagen and different things in your lips to make you look more like us? All of that to say is... When you don't have a culture, you take a culture. So when you take a culture from people that are not knowing and embracing their own culture, we bring you in with open arms because we were taught to hate ourselves and love you. So to keep it
that's
on
called, and that's called appropriation. And you see that, and I know we all see it all the time because of the industry that we're in, but you're right. It comes down to once the chosen individual of a different culture makes it the new thing to do, there goes the collagen, there go the cornrows, there goes all of the things that were once considered unattractive. But what's interesting is if one of, you know, their respected individuals shows an affinity for people that have a certain look, whether they like to call it exotic, we just call it, you know, our natural, our norm. And that's, you're right, because bronzers, tanning, all of that, and again, we could get into the science of the hair, probably you're right, because of the stripping of the bonds on our hair, et cetera, but you're right. The same reason black women were made to cover their heads up, and what do? We started jazzing up the stars, and then we started rocking these dope hair pieces. They got mad all over again. You can't, it's hard to not love or want to emulate something that is always so creative, but you have to find a way to keep that under control. And, you know, you kind of suppress it. But the thing about it, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing that there were warring tribes, it was like a turf war, and that's what it was. And each African tribe did take prisoners of war, but they made them, they incorporated them into their villages and families and things like that. So there was slavery. Per se, but not to this magnitude. The transatlantic slave trade took on a whole different meaning of this. And so I think that's where the issue comes in. And like we were talking about the self-hatred, if you bring somebody up from the ground up to not like what they see in the mirror, they're going to be very damaged because they're going to be conflicting thoughts. I'm supposed to hate myself, but why? And if you don't show them anything differently, and if you don't explain to them why they shouldn't and why they should walk with pride and be able to, there's no reason to not hate yourself. How can I tell you that you're a king when I can't show you, you know, I can't prove that my words and actions don't match up. I can't prove that you are. You just have to believe me.
Right.
That's a hell of a lot tougher than someone coming over going, look at all that I've got. Look at what my family's got. You should assimilate to what I'm doing. It's a really tough sell. It really, really is. And what they don't like to believe is, guess what? The dregs of European society were sent over here. They weren't pioneers, and they weren't trailblazers and all that shit. They were criminals. They were pedophiles. They were rapists, killers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, guess what? I didn't write the history. I didn't rewrite the story, so it is in my words in the book. So the book that obviously the book that you read is going to have a spin in my favor if I'm the creator of it, just like any book, any document. So we have to unlearn and reteach. And again, that's where people that are well versed come into play. And you were right about the mild nature of the African culture. So I'll just speak about where I was, because Africa is a huge continent. But I was speaking with our guide. Max was super cool. I'm going to have to show you guys a picture of Max. Max was dope. Max was kind of like Red in Shawshank Redemption. When I say my man could get anything, so big ups to Max. He was a cool guy. But he was saying, we don't understand you guys because, like, our group, we're upwardly mobile brothers and sisters. But he was like, why do you guys resort to killing each other? All you do is kill each other over there. Maybe not you per se, but y'all. And he had a point there. What we see and what we hear is so bad, we don't want to deal with you or contend with you. But
yeah,
he's done it for so long, he understands the difference. And we said, Max, you ever want to come visit us in the U.S.? He was like, never. He said, I never want to come to America. You know how jacked up that is? But he said, over here, if you disagree, you kind of disagree, you figure it out, it works out. There's not a lot of violence. There's not a lot of, like, thievery and stealing and things like that, because their punishment is swift. Point me to the hand that you stole it with. And, so they don't really have to deal with what we deal with over here. And he was like, but we never resort to killing someone because we don't agree. So they don't understand how we, been programmed to become so violent and so barbaric and things like that. That's not, in theory, how they are anymore. They're pretty, peaceable. Everybody's working all the time. There ain't no time for the rest of that shit. They're working. They're trying to sell stuff. They're trying to hustle. There's the grind. It's real over there. Most everybody's very strong. They're very in shape. They're lean. They walk. They carry things like you see on TV, National Geographic. They do all of that. But they're grinding from the youngest to the oldest. So they don't have time, but they also don't have the luxuries and the amenities we have over here. That's what this land was built and founded on. Excess, amenities, streets of gold, all this other crap that the dream has been sold to a lot of people. Well, not we, but they. And so they look at it as such. And, of course, TV and things like that don't help. So my question to you guys, and like TV was saying earlier, we understand, I think we all kind of have an idea of why we do it, programming and things like that. My question, conversely, do you guys think that we should still be as accepting? Do you think, I know we should guard our treasure and culture, fiercely, but do you think that we should stop being as nice, generous, and accepting and going along? Should we seriously protect, like, what we do the way other cultures do? Or is it a new day, so we have to make the adjustment? Like, what are your thoughts on how, where we go from here? Do we change it up? Do we stick with what we're doing? You know what I mean? What are your thoughts?
Right. I don't think it's so much as far as changing it up or even accepting, because it's really not about that. And these days, it's not even about accepting anymore. It's just about, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is how I do it. And accept it or not, I'm going to do what I'm going to do because that's what I believe in. At the end of the day, you're going to have people that are going to go, like, all up into your background to see, like, damn, who's Mimi Acosta, where she came from, what does she do? Oh, she's a positive, motivating influence in this industry, this and that, 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 that. Okay, I can talk to her. And then you can influence people, according to, like, whatever it is that you do or whatever it is that you feel or how you feel. Or because me, I'm always teaching. It's all about, I don't know where I got it from. Maybe I should have been a damn teacher. But it's all about showing and teaching and improving. And because this is the thing. I'm originally from the Virgin Islands, as many of you guys know. We didn't learn the bad stuff in the history books when we were going to school. When I say they tapped on it so lightly, but then we see the fort. You know what I'm saying? In Christiansted, where there were slaves, and we see all the tankers and all the stuff, and we're just like, okay, something happened here eons ago that we don't know of, that they're not telling us, and really and truly,
it takes years because the parents don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear you talking about it. They don't want you sharing it with anybody. If you know it, just Mimi, just live your life. So even like with my mom, you know, I love her dearly, but she wasn't into the let me show you, let me tell you, let me. So, you know what I did? I went right into the arts, you know, dance classes, majorette, karate, this, that. I just went into a totally different lane just because, well, if they're not teaching us this and the history books, there's some part of the history books that I really like because it shows us. But then when you talk about it, it's like, Mimi, shut up. Because you don't need to start no shit on the island with what you think you know. You know, so it becomes that. And then, you know, I'm 51 now, you know, and I'm going, damn, all this shit is breaking out. Like when I first came to the U.S., you know, in 1999, you know, and I'm going to, well, you know, it was, you know, before that 1990 because, you know, my daughter was born in Miami, but I didn't get a whole lot of knowledge there. It's when I came here. Well, actually, a tad bit of discrimination happened in Miami, and then I moved to Georgia, and then I started seeing all the black and white and you know, folks really kind of like against each other. When in the Virgin Islands, we got a melting pot. My family is a melting pot. If you go into a grocery store here in the States and you take all those people and put them on the beach, whether they're black, white, Indian, this, that, all that, you put them on the beach and you go to a barbecue, that's my family. So I never felt that you ain't this or you ain't that or you is this and you ain't that. And then I get here and there's all this separation and all these groups and all this stuff. And I was totally confused. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Up till today, I am still that confused that there is so much hateration within groups when we're all human beings. At the end of the day, if you get a freaking flat tire, who's going to show up with the wrecker? Who's going to show up from AAA? And what are you going to tell the person? Oh, no, I don't want you fixing my car because you're Hispanic or because you're African-American or because you're, you know, like, oh, fix my freaking car because I got to get to where I'm going. And you're going to give that person a tip for their service and you're going to be happy that you're going where you're going. But the person that you thought was going to show up doesn't look like you. So my thing is get over the shit and live your life. You know what I'm saying? And show your kids from small to just love people. Because if you see these little kids until they are introduced to racism and all the bullshit happening today, they don't know that stuff. They don't know. They don't even know color. You know, and I've seen many of those videos when you put a little black kid and a little white kid together. It's like, you know, what does Bobby, what do you think about Bobby? Oh, my God, that's my brother. They don't know black, white, this, that, until you introduce this hater ratio to them. Then they're like, oh, he's black, he's Indian, she's white. You know, no. So,
the hater ratio, did you quote Mary J.
Guys,
Blige?
I can go on and on.
Toleration in this cancer.
Yes.
Yes, yes, she did. Yes,
definitely.
She did.
But CB, I know that CB got something to say. So, sister, take
what's
it.
Up,
well. What I was going to say is, you know, a good film to watch, since I'm one who doesn't just like movies, I love them, would be South Pacific. It is a film that definitely addresses the racism that was going on at that time. There is a song called You've Got to Be Taught, and no true words could have ever been spoken because, like Mimi just talked about, you don't see, you know, little kids worrying about color when they're playing on the playground or when they're, you know, in preschool. You don't see that. But when they get older and they've been around, you know, mommy and daddy talking down about this race or that race, you know, it's a learned behavior. And so when I see someone exhibiting signs of racism, I feel, you know, anger, fury, but also I feel sorry for them because they've been misinformed their whole life. And my thing is, when you already come into something with a preconceived notion, you're not open to a different way of thinking. You're not open to, you know, just proceeding in a different way because you're set in your ways. That's all you know. But this one, like we touched upon this last week about the sheriff's son or whoever, I think he was a sheriff, and he went to the Capitol on the 6th, and his son turned him in, you know, because he knew that what his dad was doing was wrong. And, you know, so it just, it's a preference. It's basically a choice. Everyone has a choice. You can either like someone or not like them. You can hate them or not hate them. It's all a choice. So my question to you guys is, like, to circle back with the critical race theory. What do you guys think about them not wanting to teach true history in our schools now, where it's basically left up to the parents to teach their kids what really happened? Because if they get their way, they want to wipe out the Holocaust as well. So, and a lot of hatred that we see now kind of resonates from the Holocaust, you know, when you see the Nazi signs and you see all these people marching, and they march just like the Nazis marched and things like that. So to erase something like that, and then the genocide of a whole, you know, a whole ethnicity, literally, they tried to erase the Jews right off the face of the earth. So when you think of that really happening, and then they're trying to liken what happened with slavery to what happened in the Holocaust, or what's going on with the pandemic, they're likening that to what's going on with, you know, what happened with slavery. So it just, to me, it makes no sense. You can't whitewash everything. You can't. You can't erase what has happened. In order for us to progress forward, you have to look back at where we've been, and you have to see the mistakes that were made back then so that you don't repeat those same mistakes. Because as they say, history repeats itself, and that is one part of history don't want to see repeated. And it scares the hell out of me to think that we could be on our way to a civil war if things don't play out the way one certain group wants them to play out in this next election. You know, our voting rights are under attack right now, rights that people marched for, rights that people were brutally attacked for, and many lost their lives for. If I remember watching the video about Bloody Sunday, you know, and they're marching across the bridge, and then they get attacked so brutally. But they were there for a purpose, because our votes matter. Voting matters. And they're trying to, you know, subdue it to the extent where they're making people feel like our votes don't matter, our elections aren't fair, and just perpetrating this gigantic lie that they're still trying to push, which boggles my mind how people are still feeding into that. And it just shows me that there's so many sheep out there, you know, that they're willing to follow, who blindly follow. And it just, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like,
they let the
internet not at all.
They don't have to do the work anymore. They let the internet do the work for them. So with what you were saying, and first what you were saying is what the conclusion is, what we can do, it got, kind of goes parallel to what you're saying is, we have too many black entrepreneurs and too many black millionaires to not change the narrative on what we want. Like, let's think about it like this.
But they're not stepping up, though.
Huh?
Because they're really kind of like siding with the other side so they can get to where they need to get to, you know?
I agree with you. I'm not, no, I'm saying on ways we can find a resolution. That's what we was before. I completely agree with you, because it makes no sense, and this is why my feeling on what the resolution can be, because it was shown recently what the resolution can be. We just need what they call a flag to run behind. So even though it was fake, even though it wasn't real and it wasn't fake, one of the biggest situations that we came together on were off of something that wasn't real. Who remembers when Black Panther came out? How nice mm-hmm. as a people, because we saw representation of ourselves that didn't look like what they thought we were or what they've been indoctrinating us to be. Even though a Black Panther mm-hmm. was in a real movie, we came out in droves because we finally had representation on what we were or who we could have been, and us at our height and us at our best. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying that to say we have enough millionaires to create a narrative so they can have schools. We have enough millionaires that they can make mm-hmm. movies. We have enough millionaires that they can shift the culture in a way that we don't have to rely on somebody else to tell our story for us. We can tell our own mm-hmm. story. We can embrace ourselves. Who remembers it? People were going to Black Panther with drums, going to the movie theaters, embracing a culture that they yet before that didn't know anything about. Now,
right.
all that movie was, as fake as that movie was, it was still picked from real culture. It was still picked from different tribes. It was still picked from different clothing. It was still taken from a real place, which means we need something to run behind. And the flag mm-hmm. of something fake being something as big as Marvel to get us to come together, that's the solution. We have to create a different narrative. And like I said, we have the funding because there's too many Black millionaires to say we don't have the funding to do this. If a movie costs
I think the problem is there's too many non-Black
right?
billionaires.
That's what and we're touching into billions. Exactly. So what I'm saying is the resolution is we need to have enough evidence out there to show us in the light that we want to be seen. And we don't have to wait for them to show it because they're never going to do it. So I'm with you with that. I'm sick of dwelling on the problem and let's talk resolution. That is one of the biggest resolutions that I see every day, especially the business I'm in. We live
so if you fight and it feeds you, what do you do? Because you understand, you're right, we have an exorbitant amount of Black millionaires at the point. But much like, let's look at professional sports. They're gamed, but they've made a lot of people's families and lives comfortable. You're not going to bite the hand that feeds you. You're not going to anger the individual who signs your check. And you're right. I'm not saying that's an excuse because of how many self-made millionaires are. And some of them have to fight to get their due, but they get it. And you're right. And if you want to look at the stock market, look at anything, everything peaks and valleys. If people stop being afraid of angering whoever, you might take a small dip in the beginning. But you're right. If they come together, pool resources, and say, you know what, we're going to create our own narrative. We're going to create it on our own terms. Eventually, you either have to get the respect and the equal treatment from the other, or mm-hmm. you have to separate. I just don't know that some people
don't want to get their wings clipped. I understand what you're saying. They don't want to get their wings clipped in that situation. Sure. So let me ask you, let me give you a scenario like this. Say I'm a football player and I just got a $25 million contract. Would it be so obtuse to take money out to say I'm telling my banker I'm going to take out $10 million or $5 million out to buy a car? So now that's not going to be looked at as something different, but I can be a silent partner to the person who wants to be the forefront of that. I can't take $20,000 or $50,000 and use it for something frivolous, but to invest it into something that goes to my people, but it doesn't have to mean that I'm in the forefront knowing that, oh, Amon-Ra invested $50 million in this Black school, or maybe it could be something entertainment gave $5,000 to blah, 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 yakety smackety. Those things, those back channels can't be hit. So you don't have to worry.
But this is the thing. Amon-Ra, and let me just chime in right quick. The thing about that is that, okay, so this may have been a player that may have gone through a lot of shit growing up, dragged up, this, that, bop, 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 maybe from, you know, Dominican Republic, God knows where he came from, baseball player, whatever. Okay, this person now got millions of dollars. And you know what they're thinking on? Let me take care of myself. Let me take care of my family. Let me do all the things that I love to do. The last thing that person is thinking about is how can I put into this community to do something unless they are educated onto what's happening here and whatever. If they don't know, guess what? They don't care. They came from another country to play ball or to do whatever sport they're in, and the last thing they want to think about is I'm going to put my money over here because if I put my money over here, that's going to put me in the limelight of another place that I don't even want to be a part of.
You're right. But it boils down to who's guiding you, who's influencing you, who's pulling your strings. You're right, Mimi. Most people, what's the first thing a lot of people of color say if they win the lottery, sign a signing bonus, get a check?
I'm
his
about
mama
to disappear.
I'm going to no.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my
yes.
I'm going to take care of my family, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
A fool and his money are soon parted. Do you know why so many of the upper echelon don't have a problem with people of color getting money? Because we're going to give it right back, and they know
yeah.
that. What you know, what stimulus and things like that is. It's for a lot of people to come keep big businesses like Nike.
Everybody to, look, it sent everybody to the Nike store. Exactly. Of course.
See, we kept because I didn't do the shit, but a lot of people kept Nike open. They kept Tesla floating. They kept a lot of companies. You know, they didn't struggle as much during the whole pandemic as other companies because the powers that be, they know their target audience. And it really does go down to education. Mimi said it best. If you don't have the knowledge, you cannot entertain the practice. And so if you don't know how to make and keep money, you won't have it. If I give you $100 or $100 million, you will go broke if you don't know how to preserve it and let your money work for you. Most of us aren't privy to that information growing up. They keep that from us. But again, like we said earlier, Amon-Ra, ignorance is not an excuse. You have to seek it out. Some people don't know where to look. Some people aren't hungry enough. But the simple fact of the matter is, if they don't know, they can't practice. And so they're not thinking about uplifting. They're not thinking about going, you know what? If I raise a village, everybody gets to eat, not just my family, my friend's family, and you make it a collective. But it's
right.
very difficult
right.
in a country where somebody says, I'm going to turn every other culture and every other group against one group. See, they collectively turned everybody against us. We'll give you a pass if you treat them badly. So, we have the deck stacked against us. Not an excuse, but the truth.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, let me ask you this, because one thing that I appreciated in 2020 out of all the craziness that happened, what happened in 2020, because 2020 was an eye-opener for the world, and 2020 turned the world on itself, and it put the mirror in front of everybody, that the ignorance is even less. People should be more aware now than they've ever been in life, because now, thank you, it's going to sound as crazy as it is, thank you, Donald Trump, because Donald Trump let us see who the enemy was with no cover. As much as we've hated him and much as he's done to screw the world over, in 2020, our vision was 2020. We exactly saw our enemy. So are you mad at somebody for them showing you they hate you? Would you rather them hate you in the shadows, or would you rather see your enemy? When we saw Donald Trump, we hated him because he hated us. But I was thankful because now I know for a fact the snakes in the grass are revealed. I can see my enemy now. Now I can know how to move. And with that, I'm only saying that to say, the ignorance that we're still having, we should be more self-aware of what we need to do moving on now more than ever. I gave that excuse when we did the information.
Sure.
I gave that
sure.
excuse. I was good with that excuse when we were privy to the we shall overcome. Mm-hmm. We shall overcome, and let's hold hands, respect to Dr. King. But even he said before he passed on, I have a dream speech was a little premature. Right before he passed. He was saying, my vision on I have a dream and we should be one might have been a little premature. But now, more than ever, in 2020, we saw exactly who the beef was. We saw exactly how they felt about us. Thank you for letting me know you don't feel me, because I would rather walk next to my enemy than be stuck and stabbed by my friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, talking about having – I'm sorry, CB, real quick. The funny thing about that is, you know, we all know who Akon is. You're a recording artist and things like that. You know who Akon is. Akon mm-hmm. came from Africa, came to America, made his bones, did his thing, burnt out, took his money and his influence back to Africa and said, I'm going to build up where I'm from. So he
mm-hmm.
had the luxury of doing that because he was legitimately an African. Now, here's what's interesting. Everybody knows Akon really has into the, you know, he's into cryptocurrency, he's into digital money, he's into the future, which is where we are now. He tried to get a loan through American means to fund his project so that he could build a crypto city and a digital city in Africa. You know what America told him to do? Go fuck yourself. Now, You know where he got, like, I don't know the number. Don't let me lie to you. He got a lot of money. You know who he got it from? China. Now, China owns pretty much all of the debt to America anyway, so we're the United States of China. I don't want to piss anybody off more than I have. That being said,
a lot of Africa now.
The point that we're making is this country and the people that run it, the people that control it, the people that founded it, all one and the same. They're not going to let you get a foothold because that's not what we were brought here for. We are really the after effects. Like, now that slavery's over, you don't understand how many people are like, why are you still here? What are you doing here? But every Saturday and Sunday that you turn, and Monday through Friday that you turn on the television, your favorite entertainer, actor, athlete, whatever, I'll guarantee you the majority of them have a tan. But see, that's the anomaly. That's the exception, not the rule.
Ooh.
And that's really how it's viewed. So you're right. I think we all agree that, unfortunately, because we're considered a people without a land, we can't say, let's take all of our resources, culture, and everything, and go here and flourish. So once the top is off the box, you're not going to get everything back in there. It's not going to go back in the way it came out. The top is off the box. You've got too many rich and affluent and influential people of color that are like, look, I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me. I am not, you know, so it, again, it goes back to how did we get here? Certain conquering kings of tribes said, listen, leave me alone and I'll give you them. It's never going to change. And that's the problem, because until we all kind of wear the same spacesuit, have the same complexion, which is, you know, we're going to have that. So that's why, Mimi, that's why in the Caribbean and different places you have all the colors of the rainbow, Cuba, the Virgin Islands, the Dominican. Here's what's crazy. Brazil has the largest black population on the planet, but they will never vocalize it because I'm Brazilian. I speak Portuguese. Fool, you look just like me, but you speak a different dialect. But they won't tell you that. They'll say I'm Portuguese. If you can name any other country, island, or whatever, you're excused. If you say I was born in the U.S., you're nothing. I can literally go to Cuba right now, speak a little Spanish, put on some white shoes, and damn it, you don't know who I am. But see, here...
I'm Dominican. I'm not black. I'm you know...
So, guys, we have 6 more minutes to our show. I know CB has some things that she want to close out. I don't know if George has anything that he wants to say, but I know that we've got the minute countdown. So, CB.
Out of here, me.
I just want to say that this was the first of many more to come, uncomfortable conversations, which actually, you know, it's good to talk about these things. It's very good. So I hope that, you know, our listeners and our viewers have definitely learned something from this conversation. And, you know, in the coming shows, definitely, people, don't be scared to type in the chat. Give us a call. Weigh in on the topic. We'd love to hear from you. It's so important that we have these conversations because we can't move forward unless we talk about what's going on, unless we talk about what's ailing you. How do you heal if you don't talk about what's ailing you? I mean, think about that. So, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I'm going to give everyone a chance to say your closing remarks, and then we'll go from there. So, Amon-Ra, our brother.
I go first. No pressure. Thank you guys for having me. We have to make this a wonderful year. I'm glad we have these kind of uncomfortable conversations to, you know, help open up different minds. And if we only open up one mind, hopefully that domino effect can spread like not for nothing a virus. And hopefully information, you know, people will look for more. And then what we do is we can spark the brain to help somebody want to go find out information for more what it is. So if you're out there and you're listening, just know that there's so much more information that you can be privy to if you look for it, all right? We're always here to help guide you. If you need references, ask us. But these platforms, support these platforms as much as you can, because as much as you support, as we can go.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes.
And that far.
I love you all. I got to go. I got to be up in a few minutes to be on set. My listeners, thank you. Thank you so much. Mimi, everybody out here, blessings to you guys. All right.
Thanks for coming to hang with us tonight, man.
Always, family,
yeah,
always.
You know you have a free pass to call in anytime, chime in anytime. Just let me know, and we'll definitely keep you in the loop. We're going to have fun on the cruise.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Next week's topic is a bit dark. We're going to be talking about coerced rape in all forms. So we're not holding anything back. So it's going to be heavy.
I'm here for it.
Gotcha.
All right.
Blessings,
just a breath. We'll definitely talk to you.
All right.
Hello. All right, Mimi.
Woo! So, look, one love, God bless. I'm feeling really, 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 really good right now. You know,
you feeling peachy?
Peachy. The new bottle is open.
Yeah, right.
Bottle.
I was like, wait a minute, that was full.
No, that's bottle number two. That's for another week. So maybe next week the drink special is going to be Crown Peach again. But, guys, look, man, one love, God bless. It's been great. I love you guys dearly. You know, we do the damn thing, so let's just keep on doing what we do because this was amazing tonight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Y'all
Roger. already know. No, it's been real. I love thought-provoking things because, you know, the only way that you can grow, you got to stretch yourself. You know what I mean? And growth is uncomfortable. So I need more and more people to get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's how you grow. You want to be rich? You got to do some things that make you uncomfortable. You want to be more healthy? You've got to do more. So that being said, take care of yourself. Love. We'll be back. Catch you next week.
All right. George.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
All that peace, love, and hair grease. You ain't said a whole lot tonight, so I know you have some shit going on in your background, and we're going to talk about the next time we get on, okay? Well, we're going to leave it right there. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm walking away.
Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Remember, we come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation. Hopefully you got motivated tonight, and you will be back next week for another uncomfortable conversation. So our next couple of shows are going to be in this uncomfortable conversation series. The conversation is uncomfortable, yes, but necessary. So, again, next week's topic is coerced rape. So you don't want to miss that. And we're not holding back. So we're going to talk about rape and all of its forms. So if anyone has a story they want to share, hit us up. Feel free to give us a call or even email us. You can email us at info@cbandtheboys.org. Or if you want to email us individually, then you can do that. Mimi@cbandtheboys.org, George@cbandtheboys.org, Roger@cbandtheboys.org, or me, CB@cbandtheboys.org. So if you want to hit us up and tell your story, if you want to remain anonymous, it's cool. We've got you. But, yeah, but let your story be known. You know, let your voice be heard. So thank you, guys. And then the show after that, we're going to talk about the dark side of gastric bypass surgery, when pretty hurts. So you don't want to miss that. And, again, if you have a story you want to share, feel free. We'll have more guests on at that time sharing their stories. So it's going to be really, really good in depth, so you don't want to miss it. So come back for some more uncomfortable conversations, everyone. And don't forget to go to our YouTube and like us and subscribe. We know you like us. We know you love us. Now subscribe. And then don't forget to check us out at iHeartRadio as well as Apple Podcasts. While you're on the go in your car sitting in traffic, why not turn on CBN The Voice? Woo, what an idea. What a concept. try it. You might like it. So anyway, we will be back next week for more uncomfortable conversations, bringing you music, motivation, conversation, laughter, and a whole lot more fun. So tune in next week for more CV and the Boys. We will see you next week. Same time, same station. And to take us out tonight, we're going to play something that I actually
different?
Love. is BTS Butter featuring Megan Thee Stallion. So we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Ay, it's the hot girl coach and BTS.
Smooth like butter, like criminal undercover. Don't pop like trouble, breaking into your heart like that. Ooh. Cool shade stunner, yeah, owe it all to my mother. Hot like summer, yeah, I'm making you sweat like that.
Break it down.
Ooh, when I look in the mirror, I'm not too hot as it do. I got the superstar glow, so
like the car I ride, even your best party planner couldn't catch this vibe. Big bounce and I make a hater stay on their job, and I be on these girls' necks like the back of their bob. Houston's finest in the room with bouncing, make them all get hatchet in their suits and blouses. I remember writing flows in my room in college. Now I need global entry to the shows I'm rocking. Smooth like cocoa butter, my drip more than a puddle. They know that I'm the wave, take over every summer. They must be giving CV if they ever had to wonder, cause every beat I get on get turned into Hubba Bubba. I'm the next guy, got the right body and the right mind. Rolling up the party, got the right vibe. Moonlight.